right. It's sure good to have Aunt Susie here today. We've been praying for her. And her son, I can't remember his first name. What? Van. He's got, he's the only boy out. I think they got five sisters. Is that right? So he's outnumbered greatly, but anyway, he still survived all these years, so he must be doing pretty good. Anyway, we're sure glad to have him. And we've got Brother Dave and Sister Gail's grandkids, Noah and Kayla and Jordan. Now, Kayla, raise your hand so everybody can see. Yeah. I'm really glad they're here. Jordan, he's smile real big, Jordan, so everybody can see you. Ain't got any teeth. He's going to get some new ones, though, he said. All right. Brother Crafton, we're glad to have you with us. Praise God. All right. Did we finish the 12th chapter of the book of Revelations last time I was working on it? Are we ready to go into the 13th chapter? Those of you hadn't been here, we're going through the book of Revelation, chapter and verse. I think I did. All right, the 13th chapter of the book of Revelations. the 12th chapter, just as a backdrop, it's a picture of the New Testament church. Starts off with a woman standing on the moon, clothed in the sun, having a crown of 12 stars about her head. And that's a picture of the church that had the old covenant, the Old Testament for a foundation, the law and the prophets. By the way, they didn't have a New Testament back in those days. The foundation of their teaching was the Word of God that was the Old Testament. They were able to preach the New Testament, the New Covenant, right out of the Old. They could show that Jesus was the Messiah, and the new covenant that was to come, they used all those scriptures, those foretelling scriptures of prophecy. And of course, the New Testament was written by those men that interpreted the Old Testament prophecies as a message for the new covenant. And that's why the moon was their foundation. The moon is a lesser light. It's not as bright a light as the New Testament. But the sun, this woman, which is the church, was clothed with the sun. S-U-N, Son of Righteousness, Malachi said, would come with healing in his wings. The bright light, the Word of God that Jesus came with. And the 12 apostles were the 12 stars, crowns, upon her head. That was the ruling element, those 12 apostles. And of course, just quickly, I'll just mention that John saw a great wonder in heaven. He saw this woman was pregnant. That's how you know this isn't talking about third heaven, where God is and Jesus is. This woman was in travail with a child. And she brought forth a man-child. That was a picture of the early church bringing forth bride members. In this particular setting, the allegory or the picture here is not a bride, but it's a man-child. It's a ruling element that those that overcome and make the bride will rule and reign with Christ for 1,000 years. And by the way, that's not talking about the whole church. The whole church isn't going to be caught away when Jesus comes back. You'll have to reach perfection to be caught away, to be in the bride and rule and reign with Christ. He that overcometh, Jesus said, will I grant to rule and reign, rule with me in my throne, even as I also am set down in my Father's throne. So it's an overcoming message for this ruling element, which here in the 12th chapter is called a man-child. That's why it's used as a man, because it's a ruling element. Doesn't mean you have to be a man to make the bride. You're neither married nor given in marriage. Once you make the bride, you become like Jesus. Anyway, he saw this great wonder in heaven take place, that this woman was in travail to bring forth a child, and she brought it forth. But another great wonder in heaven he saw was a great red dragon that was waiting to devour this child. But it was caught up to God in his throne as soon as it was born, which is a picture of bride members when they overcome. They get a new body. This dragon element is principalities and powers right here on this earth. There's four phases of evil that the Bible talks about, and the first one that's revealed in the Bible is the serpent in the garden. Regardless of how you believe about the evil, the subject of the devil, regardless of how you see that, I think everyone would agree that the way that evil works is it has to work. If it's going to have an effect on you, it has to work through your mind. So the first revelation of evil is in the garden, and it's called a serpent. And every one of us has a serpent-type nature. Every one of us has... there's a part of us, and it has to do with your will. Your will and your mind is like a... it's like a serpent. The human mind and human will doesn't want to be judged, and it doesn't want to submit to authority. That's just dealing with your own individual person and how you relate to dealing with temptations that work through the mind. That's a serpent nature. That it works in mankind. But then the dragon's not mentioned until later in the Bible, but Satan is mentioned in the Old Testament, which means adversary. That's what the word Satan means. And Satan is an evil in the Bible, and so is the devil. Those two different phraseologies of the Bible are dealing with evil, but it's dealing with something besides what the serpent is. The serpent is having to do with you personally and your relation, how you react to evil temptations. But when you start dealing with the devil, you're dealing with a group spirit. It's not that works in a group. It doesn't work in... it's not just a serpent anymore. It's not just one you as an individual, but now it's several individuals influencing one another and influencing others. Primarily, the ungodly world is under the influence of the spirit of the devil. The Bible refers to it as the devil. Now, there's a difference in devils or evil spirits than the devil. Evil spirits are entities that are different, but the spirit of the devil is a spirit of the ungodly world. It's the prince of the power of the air. However, when it becomes the prince of the power of the air, it has to do with a combination of the devil and Satan. I don't know some of you may not ever heard anybody divide these evils up like this, but the Bible will hold it to be true. The devil, primarily in the Bible, is the spirit of the ungodly world. It's the evil that the ungodly world has given over to, the influence of that. And then the serpent is a group spirit also, but it's a religious spirit. Satan always has to do with religion, just like Satan. Did I say the serpent? I meant Satan. Serpent is just dealing with you personally, your own personal dealing with temptation, the temptation of your mind. That's just, you can shut yourself up in a room, you'll have trouble with yourself. You'll have trouble with your own temptations, your own imaginations, and your own invention and concoctions of evil that you're tempted of outside of God's plan. But the devil, my mama used to say, an idle mind is the devil's workshop. And they used to say a long time ago, and I still hold to this, that, when you put two or three or four kids together, you've got an element that will work a whole lot more evil than just one kid. And so that's one of the reasons I've pretty well told people, when it's time for your kids to go to bed, bring them home, put them to bed in your bed. You let kids spend too much time together and spend the night with one another too much, you're putting those children in a place where they're going to concoct evil together. And it's going to be a worse evil than what they'd do at home, because they're in a new environment and they'll try new things. I don't mean, don't go away from here and say, Brother Smith, don't believe that you ought to ever let any kid spend the night with the other. And I didn't say that. But I will say this. You allow that too much, you'll have trouble. So, just remember that. I like to know, when my boy was a kid, I like to know he was at home when it came bedtime. There used to be a saying on the news every night at 10 o'clock. They used to say, it's 10 o'clock, do you know where your children are? You remember that? Who was it? Wolfman Jack. I don't remember that part, but anyway, the newscasters picked it up. Just even local news, you'd hear them say that. Anyway, but the evil that has to do with the term Satan is a group spirit also, but it has to do with religion. I was going to mention Job. The sons of God went up before God, and Satan went with them. Now, they didn't anybody leave this terra firma right here and get up there where God himself is with Satan. I don't get to thinking that. It works just like it works today. We're right here today. We're coming up before God. We're here. We're gathered in his name. We're gathered here to worship. We're gathered here for his approval, to sup with him. We're going before God today. I hope there's no Satan in here with us, but I hate to tell you, there probably is. It's a spirit, it's a religious spirit that gets on people, that wants to judge, that wants to... The first chapter of Psalm calls it the seed of the scornful. When you get religious, when you get God in your life, you get self-righteous. You can't help it. You got to overcome that. Because when you start doing good, you get the feeling like, well, I'm doing pretty good. You know, I feel good about doing good. And then you start looking at everybody that ain't doing good and say, well, that's our devil. You know, he ain't doing so good. You know, you forget that you would, one time you used to be in that pit of sin just like they did. And so their spirit can get on you, and you can almost set up a judgment seat. It's what's caused many religious organizations to form. It's a spirit of politics. It's a spirit that takes the reins away from God, puts it in the hands of men, puts men, votes men in, and causes them to be the head of the church instead of Jesus. It's an evil spirit. It's evil. There's evil works right in with righteousness. When the sons of God went up before God and Satan went with them, if you read the book of Job, you'll see. Job was a man who lived. They had church back in those days. He lived for God, and he was a righteous man, and God was using him, and God was saying through him, look at my righteous servant. Y'all seen? Y'all see how righteous he is? But you read the book of Job enough and you'll see that there were comforters of Job that really hated him and they were jealous of him. And there was a spirit of Satan working in him that wanted to tear him down. Did you ever get around anybody like that? You ever try to live for God and people just, they're always throwing off on you? You ever had anybody say, well, I thought you was a Christian? You know, when you live for God before other people, you bring conviction on them and they try to find fault with you to justify their own wickedness. If they can find anything in a righteous person that they can call, you know, that they can point at, that's why we're to be blameless before men. We've got to live a life eventually that they can't find anything to point at. Anyway, the spirit of Satan is an adversary to the kingdom of God, and it's right in the kingdom of God working. It's not the ungodly world. They don't care what we're doing today. They could care less. The spirit of the devil out there is working. Paul said, don't let the sun go down on your wrath. What he meant was, don't let this bright gospel that's shining, don't let, it's finally going to, you know, just like Jesus said that. It was going to be like in the days of Noah. There'd be a, you know, remember the door of the ark was shut by God. Well, the door of the New Testament church was shut too. There came a day that that church fell away. God harvested that world. The gospel was given to the Gentiles. And it's taken us almost 2,000 years to get where the New Testament church was at. In fact, we're not there yet, but we're getting closer. And if you were living back then, if you didn't pay attention to what was being manifested by God through that church, the wrath of God would hit you, because God poured his wrath out after he harvested that world. That's why the Jewish world was judged in AD 70, and Israel no longer even became an, wasn't even a nation until 1948 again. God's wrath was poured out on that nation. Why? Because Jesus came to his own and his own received him not, but as many as did receive him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God. That was just a remnant. But the ones that didn't receive him, he poured his wrath out on them, and they were cast aside. They were cast back into the sea with a millstone hung around their neck. And that millstone represented the Word of God. They had the Word of God, but they were ungodly because they didn't receive the things that God gave them and manifested to them. They rejected Christ and God sending him to the earth. Now, in the end of that world, something was formed that's forming down here in the end of this world, and that was the dragon. That's the fourth element of wickedness. The dragon is a combination of the devil and Satan powers. It's not, you know, it's not really, it's not two different entities really, although it's two different workings of evil in the world. The ungodly world, the kings and presidents and princes of the world are what is the highest level of evil that man can conjure up. In other words, who men set up as kings, who men set up as presidents, is what this ungodly world wants. The ungodly world's ruling. Y'all realize that, don't you? This is not, it ain't righteousness. It's not God's kingdom. It's not God's men that God set, that the people of God are setting up to rule, or God's setting up to rule. Even though it is God. The Bible said the heart of a king's in the hand of the Lord, and he sets up kings and tears them down. So God's controlling the wickedness of man. So it'll all work to his glory before it's over with, but a dragon power is a combination of civil and religious power. The religious power is a beast power. But when it joins together, that's when it really becomes a dragon. The highest height of the workings of the devil is a civil power. And when the civil power gives its power to religious power, which is the manifestation of the spirit of Satan, and they get together, that's the highest element of wickedness that man can conjure, is when religion and civil powers get together. And that's how they killed Jesus, and that's how they fought against the early church. That, by the way, in the 12th chapter of the book of Revelation said, there was a great wonder in heaven, a great red dragon. And his angels fought against Michael and his angels. Michael means like God. That's Jesus' military name. He is the image of God. He's like God. That's what the name Michael means. And Jesus and his angels, that was his messengers. That was his ministry. This wasn't something that took place in heaven. This is a scripture that people used to show that an angel was kicked out of heaven. You may want to teach that using going through other scriptures, but you can't use this scripture for that. This chapter is not talking about that. This chapter is talking about the New Testament church, and it's talking about Jesus and his ministry warring against that dragon power, which was Rome, and the Judaizers, the religion of Judaism, that Rome gave power to destroy Jesus, to kill him and stamp out this movement of the Messiah and the movement of Christianity. But the Bible said they couldn't do it. This man-child was caught up to God, this ruling element. And then it says that, you can go back and read the 12th chapter again, because I'm going to start in the 13th here in just a minute. I'm just kind of giving you a setting for it. The dragon, when it saw, look at this in the 12th chapter. It doesn't hurt to go over some of these things again. In the 9th verse said, the dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan. See, when it's a dragon, it's the devil and Satan. But it also has that spirit of the serpent, because everybody's got that individual problem. which deceived the whole world. It mentions all of them there. The great dragon, the old serpent, the devil and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world, was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. And I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now is come salvation and strength, and the kingdom of our God, and the power of his Christ. For the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused them before God day and night. See, that proves to you this wasn't in heaven itself, because the accuser of our brother, this war was in the church. You can see it if you're listening to what I'm saying. You can see that. Then verse 11 said, and they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, and they loved not their lives to the death. Therefore rejoice, you heavens, talking about you assemblies, you churches that are made to sit in heavenly places with Christ Jesus. You're in a heaven. Ye that dwell in them, woe to the inhabitants of the earth and of the sea, for the devil is come down unto you, having great wrath, because he knoweth that he hath but a short time. See, back there, they saw we're in trouble. This movement of Christianity is powerful. It's turning the world upside down. And we're losing ground. They're gaining ground and we're losing. They saw that. And when the dragon saw that he was cast into the earth, he persecuted the woman which brought forth the man child. Let me make that point right there. Now here this wonder is in heaven. A woman clothed with the sun, standing on the moon. I mean the moon's clothed in the sun, crown of 12 stars in her head. She was going to have a baby. That's why you got to understand this is spiritual. It's prophecy. And there ain't any women, literal women in heaven, pregnant. Now you can just mark that down. All right? This woman is in heaven. There's a dragon in heaven. The dragon gets kicked out. And now he is going to persecute the woman that's in heaven. He didn't go very far, did he? So he decided to persecute her, or the remnant. Here in verse 13, he persecuted the woman which brought forth the man child. And the woman were given two wings of an eagle, that she might fly into the wilderness, into her place where she's nourished for a time and times and half a time. I say this, when this woman flew, if you look over in the seventh, is it the seventh verse? No, we're in the sixth verse. The woman fled into the wilderness. See, when the early church back there, when this persecution became so strong and God finished his harvest in the New Testament church and the gospel was given to the Gentiles, the persecution was so strong, the woman fled into the wilderness. She had to run from the civil powers because there was great persecution. The dragon was persecuting her that brought forth this man child. And so she had to hide from the persecution. Finally, though, she's given wings. And those wings are the Old and New Testament. That's the power that'll cause you to lift the Word of God's power. It'll lift you up into a higher place than this earth and devilish, sensual element that we're in. And she fled. When the persecution was so great, the woman in the wilderness, actually that was done, there's just home folks here, so I'm a little bit plain. That was done by the Catholic Church. When the Catholic Church was formed, it was persecuting anyone that wouldn't conform. And, well, the Protestant movement hadn't really started yet. The Reformation hadn't, that they were calling it that. But it was people that wouldn't succumb to that. But finally it worked into that, and the woman flew to the United States of America. That's where God prepared this land for the church to come to find freedom of religion, to restore the church. God sent the church over here. They fled from Roman Catholicism that ruled the whole world, and came here and set up a government. A lot of you people don't remember this, but I do. You older folks will remember it. When I was a little boy, the word Catholic was as bad as any other culture that was undesirable in America. If you was a Protestant, you just didn't utter that word. I can remember that as well as I'm standing here. When I was a little boy, any of y'all remember that when that was a bad word in America? See, a lot of you young people don't realize that. But us older folks can remember when our heritage remembered the persecution and the prison that Roman Catholicism, and they murdered. Read the Fox Books of Martyrs. I would recommend every young person to get the Fox's Book of Martyrs and read it, and read how the Catholic Church murdered Christians, millions of them, because they would not accept Catholicism and come under a false religious element that church had set up. Yeah, it's hard to get, but you can order it online. It's still available. Yes, anybody that hadn't read it needs to read it. That's right. Right. They had a lot of immorality going on in there, and they hid a lot of sin that took place. I'll tell you this. The day's coming that a man preaching what I'm preaching to you today is going to go to jail for it. I'll tell you that right now. Because the devil and Satan's going to get together again. The dragon power is going to come again. We're going to go through the same thing the early church went through, but the pressure of that is going to cause us to overcome sin and harvest this world. And so it's really a good thing that God's doing, controlling wickedness until God gets his harvest out of here. He's going to harvest the Gentile world just like he did the Jewish world. All right, so now the serpent cast out of his mouth a water as a flood after the woman, that he might cause her to be carried away of the flood. That flood was religious. That was Christianity. The doctrines of Christianity, everybody accepted Christianity, and the dragon tried to cast a flood out, of doctrine, to try to control it with doctrine. But that doctrine was Christianity. It was of Christ. And it's hard to find a true Christian among false ones when everybody says, "I believe." I mean, right even today, it's hard to find a true Christian. Would a real true Christian please stand up? Because everybody claims to be one. So the earth helped the woman, verse 16, and the earth opened her mouth and swallowed up the flood of Christianity, which the dragon cast out of his mouth. And the dragon was wroth with the woman and went to make war with the remnant of her seed. There's a remnant of the seed of the early church that's going to produce the remainder of the bride and overcomers down here. Now, I'll just start in chapter 13 here. It says, "And I stood," this is John, he's saying, "And I stood upon the sand of the sea, and I saw a beast rise up out of the sea, having seven heads and ten horns, and upon his head horns ten crowns, and upon the heads the name of blasphemy. And the beast which I saw was like unto a leopard, and his feet were as the feet of a bear, and his mouth as the mouth of a lion. And the dragon gave him his power and his seat and great authority." So here John sees a beast rise up out of the sea. Now the sea in prophecy is talking about the ungodly world, the sea of humanity out here. He saw a beast rise up out of the sea of humanity. And this beast right here is the 12th chapter carries us all the way down here into the Protestant movement in America, where the dragon's going to make war with the remnant of the woman's seed. Now, John sees here is he sees this beast, which is Roman Catholicism rise up out of the sea of humanity. It's one of the seven heads of the beast. Look, here's the heads of the seven heads. It's Egypt, Assyria. You young people, write these down. You need to know this. Egypt, Assyria, Babylon, Medo-Persia, Greece, Rome, pagan Rome. And it had two parts. Just like the image that Daniel saw in Daniel 2, he saw a head of gold, which was Babylon, which God was revealing. This, the power of man's civil powers. He said it was a head of gold, and then it was the two shoulders and arms were silver. And that was Medo-Persian Empire. And then the torso or the body down to the hips was brass. And that was Greece. And then Rome had two parts. The legs were iron. So the Roman Empire has two parts to it. Pagan Rome, which is the Caesars. But then Constantine in AD 325 gave his power to the Pope. He gave his power to the beast. That was in AD 325. He gave his power to the beast. And that's this beast that John saw come up out of the sea of humanity. Now, look at its elements. It had seven heads. I already told you, I say the seventh head. Brother Leninger, I agree with Brother Leninger on this, is America. But the ten horns were the ten provinces of Rome at that time. And upon his horns, ten crowns, and that ruled. And upon the heads, the name of blasphemy. And the beast which I saw was likened to a leopard. Now here, it was like a leopard. Its feet were the feet of a bear. Its mouth was the mouth of a lion. And the dragon gave him his power and his seat and great authority. That was Constantine giving the papacy power. And he ruled. He ruled over the whole world. But let's look at that now. Let's go back to Daniel 7. I don't have just a few minutes left. So I want to get this part in right quick if I can. In Daniel, the 7th chapter, in the first verse, it said, "In the first year of Belshazzar, king of Babylon, Daniel had a dream and visions of his head upon his bed. Then he wrote the dream and told the sum of the matters. And Daniel spake and said, I saw in my vision by night, and behold, the four winds of the heavens strove upon the great sea. And four great beasts came up from the sea, diverse from one another." See, these powers also developed out of the sea of humanity. That's what I told you. The devil is a power of the ungodly world. This is the civil powers, the highest element of that. And the first was like a lion and had eagle's wings. "And I beheld till the wings thereof were plucked and it were lifted up from the earth and made stand upon the feet as a man, and the man's heart was given to it." And that was Babylon. Babylon was this first element, or the lion. If you go down to the 17th verse, it says, "These great beasts, which are four kings which shall rise out of the earth." So, and if you read this, he describes it. He tells you this, how Babylon's going to be overthrown, what the next 10 kingdoms are going to be. So what Daniel's seeing here is during the time that he was in Babylon, he sees these four beasts. The lion is the first one he saw, which was Babylon. Verse 5 says, "And behold another beast, a second like unto a bear. And it raised up itself on one side, and it had three ribs in the mouth of it, between the teeth of it. And they said thus unto it, And they said thus unto it, arise and devour much flesh. All right, those three ribs were, that was Medo-Persia, by the way. The bear was the Medo-Persian Empire that overthrew Babylon, which was the lion. It was two parts, Medo-Persia, the Medes and the Persians, that they didn't always rule together, but the three provinces that they plucked up that gave them the power to overthrow Babylon was Babylon, Lydia, and Egypt. They overthrew those three provinces, and when they did, they toppled that power, and that gave them enough power to rule. And then verse 6 said, and this, after this I beheld, and lo, another like unto a leopard, which had upon the back of it four wings of a fowl, and the beast had also four heads, and dominions was given to it. That was Greece. If you remember over here in Revelations, if you're holding your place in the 13th chapter, this beast that John saw come up out of the sea, it was like a leopard, which Rome before it was was Greece, which was the leopard. The bear was the Medo-Persians. It had feet like a bear. The foundation was like that because it had two parts, a pagan and papal Rome. There were in the foundation of that, there was the dragon and civil powers working. And then it was, and it had the mouth of a lion. It had the teeth, the judgment, and the power that Babylon had. There was never a kingdom that had any more power than Babylon till Rome came on the face of the scene. And so it's just showing you that it evolved out of the sea of humanity, just like all nations do. And it evolved with these other elements that went before it were still part of it. And let me go down just real quick, and I'll finish. I'm out of time here. It says, verse 7, after this I saw in the night visions and beheld a fourth beast, dreadful and terrible. He couldn't even find an animal that it was like. It was so bad. You know, he didn't even think a rhinoceros or anything else was this bad. A fourth beast, dreadful and terrible and strong exceeding. It had great iron teeth. It devoured and brake in pieces and stamped the residue with the feet of it, and it was diverse from all the beasts that were before it, and it had 10 horns. And that was Rome. That was pagan Rome and the 10 provinces. But now look, verse 8 said, I considered the horns, and behold, there came up among them another little horn, before whom there were three of the first horns plucked up by the roots. And behold, in this horn were eyes like the eyes of man, and a man speaking great things. And this is this little horn that rose up is the papacy. Horns are powers in prophecy. This little horn that rose up was the papacy, the Pope, and he plucked up three horns. And I'll go into that more next week, but those three horns were three provinces of Rome, which was part of the 10 horns that the papacy plucked up. And it took him some time, by the way, to do that, to gain power over the whole world. But anyway, we'll go into that next week. But here's the setting of the rising of Rome and the papacy that John's seeing in the 13th chapter of the book of Revelation. So we're out of time. So we'll see you upstairs. Hopefully we'll get on something that's a little more peaceful, a little more full of love. Water this down just a little bit.